Triple M.
Terry for breakfast.
It's Terry for breakfast, Albany 783 Triple M. End of the week, and we catch up with the editor at the Albany Advertiser, John Dobson. Good morning.
Morning, Terry.
How's the week been?
Good. Sun's come out at the end of the week, which is pleasing.
Yeah. A little bit quiet this week. I think people are going to be taking advantage of and having a bit of rest and relaxation.
Yeah, we had the cruise ship in earlier in the week and certainly an influx of people then. But if you take a drive on York Street, it's pretty clogged up at the moment. So there seems to be a lot of people still in town. And as I said, the weather's getting a bit warmer, so that always draws them down from Perth.
Big month around the place. We've got Pink October at the moment, and the Advertiser's been a big supporter.
Yeah, we had a special front page yesterday. We came out printed in pink, probably hard to miss around town. We teamed up with the Albany Breast Cancer Group, and it's all part of Pink October, raising awareness of breast cancer and the great work of some organisations down here and around Australia. And we're really proud to be part of that and encourage people to still grab a copy today if you can. It's an interesting look with the pink cover, but hopefully gets the message out there and gets people aware. I mean, a lot of us would know someone who's been affected by breast cancer, so it's close to home for everyone. So great cause, and we're happy to be part of it.
John Dobson again with us from the Albany Advertiser. John, pretty disturbing case out of the Upper Great Southern. A seven-week-old has been discovered with head injuries up at Narrogin, and the Department of Child Protection is investigating.
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions with this story. Pretty tragic, really. Young Nathaniel, just 7 weeks old, was admitted to hospital with severe head injuries, flown from Narrogin to Perth last week. And police are investigating as a child protection. It's not known how he had these injuries, but obviously it was touch and go for a while, and there was real grave concerns that he'd survive. But he's pulled through at the moment, but the extent of brain damage is unknown. But investigations are continuing to how that happened.
Pretty concerning. I mean, you know, children of this age, I mean, they've barely had a chance at life. I mean, we heard during the week another story out of Queensland where a four-month-old was discovered with knife wounds to the face after the grandmother attacked them. I mean, there are just no words for this kind of thing, is there?
That's right. And I think everyone, even people without children, get affected by these things. And I mean, children are innocent, aren't they? They haven't done anything wrong to anyone. And to be victims of these kind of situations or alleged crimes is really hits at the heartstrings of many people. And even the journos writing the stories, it is difficult at times to cover this kind of stuff.
There's some news in the paper about the shark policy.
Yeah, the city's set to adopt a beach closure policy. So it hasn't really had one. So this is just officially putting into practice what it already does. But it includes closing the Ellen Cove shark barrier if a shark is a confirmed sighting or there's an attack elsewhere at Middleton Beach. So last year, it was a couple of times over summer, there was a tiger shark detected more than three times off Middleton Beach, which forced the closure of the Ellen Cove shark barrier. A lot of people got a bit confused as to why the shark barrier would be closed, given it's there to keep sharks out. But it's all part of, insurance for the city and making sure that everyone's safe in the water. I mean, a lot of people use that barrier, and definitely tourists. But if there is a shark attack or a confirmed sighting from fisheries, or the detectors go off, the Ellen Cove barrier will be closed.
I tell you what, there's been a bit of action on the water recently. We've seen a lot of videos on social media, whale sightings off the coast.
Yeah, the whales are hanging around quite late in the season. Had 14 whales in 3 days at the weekend, and we've had a couple of cows and calves off Middleton for the last few mornings. It's pretty spectacular stuff. We're very lucky to live down here and to see that just down at the beach. So a lot of people from Perth are in awe at what we get down here, but very lucky.
Also, we've got the council elections wrapping up this weekend. We're having it in the City of Albany and the Shire of Denmark. Of course, in Plantagenet, no election because the councillors have been put forward unopposed.
That's right. It's real crunch time now. Saturday is the closing of the polls. So Albany's had about 33% turnout, which is it's quite good. It's the state sort of average. But Denmark's up around the 40s, which is quite impressive. There's obviously been some issues with the Shire there, with councillors quitting and now on the track back. So that's prompted a lot of people to get involved. But Albany's had an above average for its own turnout, which is good. A lot of new candidates in the mix. It'll be interesting who gets a seat and what that means for the city and Shire.
There are some people out there a little concerned by the lower voter turnout across the state. And of course, other states have compulsory voting. Do you think that is something that could be discussed here in this state?
Oh, it's worth discussing. I think Australia has three tiers of government, which is unusual in the Western world. The turnout for local governments, about 30 to 40% across Australia. Whether you make it force people to vote, will that improve the results, get better candidates? Probably not. It might dilute the voting process. I think voluntary voting is probably the way to go, but it's probably about getting more people to actually get pen to paper and have their say, given they don't actually not obliged to.
Good luck to all the candidates this weekend. It is the Albany Advertiser, of course, out Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the Extra out over the weekend as well. Always a great read and plenty of social media action as well. John Dobson, thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry.
In the off-season, over the summer period, catching up with Michael Lynch from beyondthegame.tv. Lynchy, how are you?
Good, Tezza. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Long time no speak. We did radio together once upon a time.
We sure did in beautiful Geraldton, just near the Abrolhos Islands there, and yeah, some good times.
Did you catch any crayfish?
Oh, always. Plenty of crayfish there, mate. Just stick the hand in and you can always pluck a few out. Don't worry about that.
Sporting a few injuries after that as well.
That's right. Exactly.
This is the first time we're having a chat in this series. Beyondthegame.tv, tell us about the website. What have you got on there?
Yeah, well, there's plenty happening. So it's a new website, only a couple of years old, and lots of like short sports documentaries with a lot of Aussie athletes, Olympians, AFL footballers as well. Looking to get Nat Fyfe on board, so maybe you can help us out with that, Tezza, because you're a lot closer to Fyfe and the lads than I am at the moment, so we'll work on that.
He's working on his tan. Well, I heard he was in Spain in the off-season.
Yeah. The lads have got away, that's for sure. But a few other players are being shuffled around, and I'm not talking about to Spain. A lot of trades being done.
Yeah, well, the big surprise was of the AFL trade period was Lachie Weller wanting to go from Fremantle to the Gold Coast, putting the homesick card.
Yeah, I've got to say, that was a really strange one. Only a young bloke, and just seems to be happening so much. Obviously, super talented player. But it puts Freo into a really difficult position. If a young player goes up and says, look, I don't want to be here anymore, I want to go back home, I mean, what can they do? If they play hardball and hang on to him, then you can have an awkward situation where he's there next year and he doesn't really want to be there and he doesn't put in, and that can be difficult. But I think, look, honestly, I think Freo have done pretty well out of it because that was a difficult position and they've got themselves pick two. So even though he's a superstar, I think pick two's a pretty decent effort and I'm sure they'll manage to get themselves a more than handy player with pick two. But yeah, that's been the theme of this trade period, Tez. Like, players saying they're homesick and clubs not really knowing what to do. It's been really difficult. A lot of players saying they want to go back home.
Well, Adelaide were playing hardball. Taylor Walker not happy with Jake Lever walking out.
Tex Walker was absolutely filthy, and he let everybody know about it. Apparently, Jake Lever called all his Adelaide teammates, jumped on the phone and gave them all a courtesy phone call just to let them know what was happening. He called Tex, and Tex was not impressed at all. Gave him a spray, a good old-fashioned spray, and hung up on Jake Lever, apparently. So that'll be interesting when the Demons play the Crows in 2018.
Patrick Slowball,
the Four Stumps.
And joining us again for 2017-18, he's padded up for yet another season. Our man inside local cricket, Terry Eaton. Terry, very good morning.
Good morning, Terry, and welcome, listeners.
Are you ready for a big summer?
We are ready for a big summer, yeah. No, it's exciting times ahead, especially moving back to our hub of cricket up there on North Road, a clubhouse, change rooms, toilets, the whole lot, and three good turf decks hopefully in to come. And so I think four games of cricket up there every weekend is certainly going to bring cricket back to that centre.
It's looking very nice there out there at the moment. And of course, the weather's a little accommodating for the weekend as well. Joining us is Tim Edmonds, new chairperson on the Albany Cricket Association, committee member, I should say. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Terry. Good to be here.
And of course, during the week, there's been a big partnership announced, Merrifield Real Estate, the naming rights partner of Albany Cricket.
Yeah, it's great to get Jeremy on board and, to have the support of Merrifield Real Estate Looking forward to a very good association in the years to come.
All right, this weekend we've got some big matches. What's happening in A-grade?
A-grade, yeah. Well, we start off with... we've only got two turf decks up on North Road, so one game's going out to Barker, that's Mini Peaks Mount Barker, and we've got two games up there in Collingwood Park, Railways on North, and Royals and Denmark on West. So looking forward to a couple of good games up there. There's been a little bit of movement around there, and hopefully... we can get some really good things going up there. Denmark especially, they've picked up a couple of handy ones in Hayden Collard from opening the bowling of ex-Darren boy up in the Wildcatcher area, up that league, and Jahal, an English importer, is an opening bat and a spin bowler. So hopefully that gets them off to a good start. Royals, new kid on the block, come back to A-grade after a bit of a hiatus in B, so it's great to have them back in A-grade. Jack Hastie runs the realms there. Matt and Tom Wolfe have moved over from Railways, and then it's going to be the young guns and how they can stand up, and the Ted Batchelors and Cohen Chapmans, Marcus Mellum, etc. And they welcome Shamir Ahmed, an all-rounder. Excellent. So that looks like a good start for both teams to start the season off.
And Tim Edmonds, of course, a bit of momentum for the local competition after taking out the Toyota Cup last year.
Yeah, fantastic. Unfortunately, that competition is probably going to go into recession this year, so we're the last winner, which is really good. But as Terry was saying, it's pretty exciting. We've got seven teams locally, plenty of good young talent running around on the weekend, and it looks like at this stage some pretty decent weather, so fingers crossed.
You padding up again this year?
Yeah, unfortunately. No, looking forward to it. Should be great to have three games down at the North Road Complex on the weekend, and I suppose this year, I suppose we've got the three permanent A, B and C grades, Terry.
Yeah, that's something we've moved towards. It's to actually separate right from the start. It'll actually split up a few things and make it a lot more even as they come through, and give the guys in C grade a flow to come through to A grade as well. So hopefully that will pan out nicely for us.
And you've had some success in representative cricket yourself over the years. Was it last year in Tassie you went down there and took a few pills?
Yeah, I've had a bit of fun.
Had some good success with the pill.
I've had some good fun, and the over 60s, which I've been away with the last couple of years, has been really good fun, and hopefully the body can stand up and do another one this year in Canberra.
Yeah, it's going to be a big summer of cricket, and of course Merrifield Real Estate, naming rights partner of the Albany Cricket Association. Good luck to all the teams taking part in A, B and C grades this weekend in the Albany Cricket Association. Of course, we'll have all the results Monday here on Triple M. Man, it's our local cricket, Terry Eaton. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Tim. And again.
Tim Evans from the Albany Cricket Association, new committee member this year. Thank you for coming in as well as we launch a brand new season.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Fridays, we get towards the weekend. We catch up with our oracle on everything pescatorial. Jim from Albany Rods and Tackle, 40 Sterling Terrace. Jim, we had some decent weather on Thursday, but looking a little different for the weekend. How's it going to affect our fishing?
Probably warm clothes and raincoats again. Put up with the wind. Not looking that flash tomorrow. A little bit better of an improvement for Sunday. I'm afraid, folks, not too many be wandering out wide. Should be able to get out into the Sound on Sunday, have a look around for some King George. There's some nice King George out there, still a few squid out there, some sand whiting. The rivers are on the improve, the water's now starting to clean up a bit, so we should, the Brim will probably be slowly moving up a little bit higher. The local rivers probably be able to produce a few mulloway now, finally at long last, as the water sort of gets a bit of salinity back into it. So that should improve over the next sort of week, 10 days anyway, as long as we don't get any more rain. Thank you. Beach fishing, again, bit of hit and miss, still some salmon about, herring in, well, not massive numbers, but the skippy is still about. I had a bit of a quick run out the chains on Sunday and watched one guy pull quite a reasonable skippy in out there. So, I mean, if you put a bit more effort in, you'll probably get quite a few more. And again, seems to be, he got his in the morning, but a few of the younger ones have been getting some nice ones of an evening. King George whiting have been a little bit hard to find shore-based, but again, if you have a look around sort of Frenchman's, Good Beach area, Gull Rock is probably the two places worth a quick look. And if you don't mind the travel, out to Cozy Corner. But all in all, I don't think we'll be getting out wide this weekend again, Terry, I'm afraid.
How the boys go there during the week?
Some of them did okay, especially on the King George. Yeah, good King George. Even though the dirty water, they reckon they found them in under the dirty water. Mm. So that was interesting.
Yeah. I was up around the Nanarup way, and very brown colour up that way.
Yes. And Nanarup itself is very hard to get around, so don't make an attempt if it's coming into a high tide, because apparently it's washed away pretty badly in a couple of spots there. So just be a bit aware that some of your beaches might be a bit washed out. So take care.
Albany Rods and Tackle, 40 Sterling Terrace. Jim, a friend of a friend got married a few weeks ago, and as part of his speech, when he was talking about how he met his wife, he said in the few months after they got together, he knew he found a keeper. And then he realised she was wearing big soccer gloves.
There you go. That should do the trick.
Sounds of Albany.
Jackpot today is at $1,580. What is our sound? What is our sound and where can you find it? Call me 132710. Cheryl wants to have a go for this Friday. G'day, Cheryl.
Good morning.
What do you reckon our sound of Albany is for $1,580?
Something to do with panel beating.
What are we doing with the panel beating?
Just hitting metal in a panel beating shop on a car.
Unfortunately, your answer is not a hit.
Oh, dear. Never mind.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Rick's with us. Rick, sound of Albany, what do you reckon it is?
I'm going to have a go and say it's a car door being shut in the showrooms down at Toyota.
A car door being shut in the showrooms down at the Toyota?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be an oh, what a feeling?
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Unfortunately, Rick, not feeling in the right area.
No worries.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
See you then. $1,600 our sound of Albany rises to on Monday. A serious amount of money could be yours if you are the champion of the sound of Albany. We'll open up the lines again Monday here at Triple M.